Welcome to the Bio Hour. I'm your host, Mike Gunn. In this episode, we've got four all seasons with us. So that's Emily Hamilton, Johnny Hamilton, and Jeff Lucky. And they just dropped their new EP, Clarity. We talk about this new EP. We talk about what God's been doing in their lives. I think they've got a lot of great things to say about their journey and about how they've been coming to know who God is through it. The first part is my interview with them. And the second part is where we take questions from our live audience. So help me welcome Four All Seasons. All right. Hey, so hey, guys, tell me about Clarity. Why did you guys write Clarity? What is Clarity about?
Yeah, so we have been an independent band up until just recently signing with the label. And there has just been a lot of journey involved in that process of not really knowing what's next.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but when it came to writing Clarity, it was taking everything that we'd experienced since we'd graduated from Biola, all the music that we'd created, realizing what is most important to us. You know, we wrote 60 songs for this project, and there's only 7 on it.
Wow.
And so in previous projects, we'd write 11 songs, and then we'd record 11 songs, and it was just how it was. But this time, it really gave us the opportunity to sit down and say, okay, what is important to us? Musically, what's important to us? Lyrically, what's important to us? And
yeah,
through all of our time doing ministry, whether it was at churches or camps, it was realizing that we just want to create an opportunity for people to have a conversation with God, to fill songs with truth that people can stand on, and to have the music be something that's engaging and creative that people want to listen to.
Okay.
So creating that fine mix. And when we talk about Clarity, all the songs on this record, they point people to, instead of focusing on what is happening in the world or what's going on in their own lives, turning their eyes to Jesus. In fact, there's a song that we'll play today, and it's the title track of this record, Clarity, and I think it kind of sums it up perfectly. It says, I don't need to know what's coming because I know who you are.
Yeah.
And so the song is just filled with truths of God's character, that we don't need to know every answer. We don't need to know what's coming, because we can trust that we have a good God that's with us.
Great. Well, in your journey, when did you guys say, you know what, we think we can make this a career. We think we can make it as a worship band.
To be honest, I feel like we're still asking that question. it's been a crazy journey. We've been doing this full time for about 7 years now, pretty much right after we graduated. And for me personally, I feel like in the beginning I was super hesitant. I didn't think it would really pan out at all. You know, there was a lot of factors. I mean, growing up in Orange County and not having music all around you, you know, people kind of look at us even today and they're like, so you play music, but what do you really do? Because you can't make money with music, right?
It's true.
It's kind of true. But when we got started, so we graduated from school here in 2010, and I got a job in finance right after I was a business major, and we got an opportunity to go play up at Hume Lake Christian Camps, and they asked us to move up there for 2.5 months and lead worship, and I was like, so great, we're going to go up there for 2 months, and then I'm going to come back to no job, and I was like, what are we going to do after camp? You know, we didn't have like gigs on the calendar or people asking us to come play, but these guys had more faith than I did, and they went up to the camp, and the whole time they were gone, it was just eating me alive, because I was just like, you know, even if there's nothing on the calendar, even if there's nothing in front of us, like, it's still a passion, and it's something that we really care about, and when God opens doors, you know, it's our responsibility to walk through them and take that leap of faith. And so I feel like we're still asking the question of, you know, God, do you want us to keep going? Do you want us to keep doing this? But it's been, you know, amazing seeing him provide along the way.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Yeah.
And after, like, about 7 years of doing this, I think there's still a giant question mark in our future of like, mm-hmm. will we be able to provide for families that we eventually want to have?
Right.
And we still kind of live month to month, hoping that the next month works out. But I think the thing we constantly come back to is, if this were to end tomorrow, would it be worth it? And I think our answer has always been yes, just because we get to see life change happen.
Yeah.
And we get to be a part of life change, and like, that's so worth it for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great. Well, in looking at your 7-year journey, okay, what has been some of the highest highs and what have been some of the lowest lows? And help us just understand what you guys have been through mm-hmm. and how God has moved in this.
Yeah, I think as far as the good goes, it's just been amazing to see, to have a front row seat to God providing in miraculous ways, like we were talking about, like still not knowing what's going to happen next month. Like I remember a few years ago, and we actually, we launched a Kickstarter for a record. And, you know, with Kickstarter, if you don't make all the money, the amount that you're asking for, then you don't get any of it.
Yeah.
And so we asked for $15,000 for a record. And we actually filmed the video, like, around the corner.
In this classroom.
And we couldn't get... Every time we were saying $15,000, we were laughing because we couldn't, like...
Fathom
that people would, you know, give us enough to make this record. But it was amazing. We were up at Hume, you know, while the countdown was happening, and it was literally the day of, and we were about $5,000 short. And so we were just, you know, we were on our knees asking God to provide in a miraculous way. And it was literally up to the last minute that we were still like $1,000 short.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the total came in and it was $19,000.
Whoa.
And we were just just absolutely astounded at, you know, seeing God provide for us. And that's happened in so many ways. The vehicle we drive was given to us because a man saw us play here in the chapel at Singspo.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He said, you know, I believe in what you guys are doing, and what can I do to help?
Wow.
And so the vehicle we have is, you know, for that reason. And also, you know, just thinking about the stories we hear of people that are impacted by the music. I think that's what keeps us going, and hearing those stories of victories, you know, people's lives being changed through lyrics or moments with God is amazing. I, as far as like the downside of things, I would say traveling is probably the hardest thing. It's been difficult for us, and it's been a new thing to learn as far as how to have community when you're apart from any sort of consistency.
Yeah.
And along with that is friendships and relationships. They're hard to maintain. And but I love the fact that we travel as a family. You know, my wife is our tour manager, and
yeah.
we all travel together. And so even though like those times can be really hard, you know, there was a year where I was apart from my wife for 250 days
Whoa.
Of the year.
Yeah.
And that was just gnarly. And don't ever want to do that again. But she faithfully quit her job and started tour managing for us now. So even though there are those hard moments, it's the stories and the, you know, the victories that happen that keep us going.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you guys look forward, what do you guys want For All Seasons to be known for? So if someone buys a record in the future, what do you want them to be impressed with?
Well, I mean, obviously we want people to love our music and love the lyrics that are in them. But I hope that through interaction that they see that we love people well. Something that we've always kind of said is that people are the ministry.
Yeah.
By the means of our music.
Yeah.
And so if we're not connecting with people, loving on people, praying for people every night, it's honestly not worth it, because people are so much more valuable than the music that we play.
Yeah.
And that's such an important part of our ministry.
Yeah, I think when people listen to the songs, our hope is that they see honesty mm-hmm. in what we're doing.
Yeah.
That they see that we really love the Lord and
yeah.
His truth and see the power in it. I would hope that people can see that we appreciate creativity and art in general and believe in the power of that. But really just that people see that our motive is to serve the Lord and to serve his people.
Great, great. Is there something that you guys have learned in the last 7 years that you kind of wish that you learned at Biola? And you don't have to like say anything bad about certain people at Biola, but like what is something, unless you really want to, but no. What is something that you wish that you learned here that might have helped equip you for the future?
Yeah, we were talking about this question this morning because, none of us got a degree in worship and music.
Yeah.
I have a communications degree. Johnny
dropped out,
but
I went here.
He's still very much an alumni.
You're one semester away. You're gonna come back.
I think it's if you were here a semester, you're considered an alumnus, right?
I think
whatever.
But he was here for 2.5 years. Anyway,
you played in the alumni baseball game.
Yeah, you did.
So you're alumni.
Awesome.
But as I thought back, so much of who I am as a worship leader today is because of my time at Biola. And so that question was hard because I'm like, well, I feel like I owe them so much. What can I say that I didn't learn? But we started to unpack it more. And even just realizing that there are things, even at the age that we were at, where we were in our spiritual journey of understanding who God is and who we are, I think something that I wish I could have learned, but I'm realizing it's came through experience,
yeah.
Is my people-pleasing mentality is not going to get me anywhere.
Yeah.
Especially in a vocation that is art-driven, where what you're creating is so closely connected to who you are.
Right.
Whether it's your voice or writing songs or speaking from stage, it's like if I don't hear someone jumping up and down saying, I love it, automatically my heart says they hate it, AKA they hate me. And that seems so, Jeff's laughing at me because it's like so extreme, but that is how my brain works. And it has taken me time away from a community like Biola to realize that it was something that I really had an issue with.
Yeah.
And I'm still, you know, our record released today and I'm like going through seeing people like tweet about it or write reviews. And I'm having to ask the Holy Spirit, like, help me to remember that this is what you have me doing. Like, this is not about people's opinions. We don't make music for people's opinions. We make it for you and you have us in this place. So it's kind of hard because I don't think it's something a professor could have taught me.
That's right.
But it would have helped.
Absolutely.
Earlier on.
Great. Well, hey, you know, we're going to call a timeout here. You guys are going to lead us in the reflection song today, okay? And we're going to invite you guys to text in questions and tweet questions in so that we can answer it right afterward. This is their new song, Clarity, right off of the new EP.
Stuck in a daze, fearing the way. Don't let it overtake me. Thick as a cloud, bringing me down, drowning you out. Don't let my faith escape me. You're my guiding light in the darkness. Lead me through the night. You're my harbor on a moonlit night. The kindest calm in the fiercest fight. The brightest star in the darkest sky. My clarity, my clarity. Dark, I feel your heart. I hear it beating for me, making it known deep in my soul. You're in control. and that you won't forget me. No, I don't need to know what is coming, 'cause I know who you are. Oh, you're my harbor on a moonlit night. The kindest calm and the fiercest spy. The brightest star in the darkest sky. My clarity, strong when I can't decide. Leading me on when I lose my sight. Till that day you make all things right. You'll ever be my clarity, yeah. If it's not good, you're not finished. If it's not good, you're not finished. If it's not good, you're not finished with it yet. If it's not good, you're not finished. If it's not good, you're not finished. If it's not good, you're not finished with it yet. If it's not good, you're not finished. If it's not good, you're not finished. If it's not good, you're not finished with it yet. If it's not good, you're not finished. If it's not good, you're not finished. If it's not good, you're not finished with it yet. Oh, you're my harbor on a moonlit night. The kindest calm in the fiercest spy. The brightest star in the darkest sky. My clarity, strong when I can't decide. Leading me on when I lose my sight. Till that day you make all things right. You'll ever be my clarity.
Thank you, guys.
Of course.
By the way, this is Jeff, everybody. I didn't say their names yet. This is Jeff Lucky.
Guys.
I want to say hi to Jeff. Okay. This is Emily.
Hello.
And this is Johnny. Everyone say hi, okay? They're married, too, by the way. All right. Just in case you didn't know that.
I did touch his leg at one point, and I thought, oh, no. I wonder if he'll know that we're married. That's going to be weird.
All right. Well, here are questions. I don't know if you guys can see the screen very well, but I'm going to read them for us. Okay, you guys can read along with me if you guys want. Here's the first question for you guys. What bands have you gotten inspiration from? Also, what are your favorite type of musical genres, and what artists from those genres do you like?
That's a lot of questions.
You know, they like asking questions. So
I love it.
Yeah.
I can just straight up say I love pop music.
Whatever. Top 40 all the way this guy.
Like, honestly, one of my favorite artists is Katy Perry. Whatever. So, laugh, but her first full-length record is so good. So, love it. So, I love pop music, Nick Jonas, you name it. They're all great. They all have great feel and simplicity to it, and that's what I love.
Yeah, we all have pretty different musical tastes, I think, which is what... At first we fought it, and then we realized, oh, I think it helps make our music unique when we embrace everybody's loves. But I also, because I'm married to him, have learned to love top 40 pop music. I love it. But I also really love like singer-songwriter stuff or stuff that's a little more contemplative. Like Stephanie Gretzinger's record is like one of my favorite records of all time. I love like Sleeping at Last. All of his stuff is incredible.
Yeah.
Stuff that I can just like get in the car and drive to and listen to the lyrics and them mean so much is huge for me. Death Cab for Cutie, big love for them. But yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I would say the only top 40 I know is because of Johnny. I'm kind of more like the indie rock section of this band.
The cooler portion of it.
Yeah.
You disagree with me?
Yeah, I did. So I like King's Kaleidoscope, Colony House. Yes.
We like them too, Jeff. Jeez.
No, just I like them. Mute Math, Thrice, Bad Sons, tons of stuff.
Cool. Here, let's go to another question. Here's another question, and it asks, okay, what was the pivotal moment when you decided to pursue music and worship? What made you realize, aside, this is what you wanted to do?
So I honestly didn't have, like, this moment where it happened. I think when we auditioned to be a worship band on Biola's campus, I auditioned alongside a friend of mine, another girl, and we both said, like, hey, we're going to co-lead the team because it sounded like way too scary to do it on our own.
Yeah.
And so, and at that time, like, I knew that worship was something I enjoyed, but I never thought it was something that I would do for a living.
Right.
And then I think throughout my time at Biola, God began to show me, like, no, this is something that I've actually, like, put in you, like, the way that I've created you to lead people. And I fought it for a long time. Like Jeff, I had plans after college. I had gotten accepted to a grad program at APU. I'm sorry. But I was already, like, had a job on campus, was, like, accepted into the program, had my textbooks. And then that's when Hume called. And that was definitely a moment for me of like, I actually remember Johnny came in and he was like, hey, Hume just called. And in my heart, this is how the conversation went with God. Are you kidding me? Are you serious right now? Like, I was mad kind of because I had already decided what I was going to do.
Right.
And it was God saying like, hey, grad school's great. Like, you could do that. And that was a lesson I had to learn, that sometimes God just gives you two really great options.
Yeah,
and, like,
good.
He just asks you, like, choose whatever I've put in you. Like,
that's right.
Choose one of those. But it was this moment, like, I have this other thing that is not at all what you would ever do because you're type A and you worry about everything. But it'll be a wild ride if you want to take it. And so the program was like, you can defer. And so I said, okay, well, there's not a lot of risk involved. Silly me. So I was like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then didn't look back. But I guess that was like a moment for sure. But there was never this like, I know this is what I've created to do. Now I'm going to do everything in my power to like put all my energy towards it. It's been this slow growth. And I feel like that's kind of true for all of us.
Completely.
I actually have a story about that.
Please, Johnny.
So there was a pivotal moment. It was actually, I think I was attending this not as a student. It was missions conference, and there was an extended night of worship, and I just remember just being so broken that night, and actually in that moment, I felt like God was saying, hey, I want you to lead worship with your wife, and that was a prayer of mine. I was dating another girl at the time that didn't sing. So,
the best part is one time Johnny and his girlfriend and me and the guy I was dating, we double dated. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy story. Nah, it's chill. But
hopefully neither of them are listening to this.
But yeah, it was in that moment I was like, it was a prayer like, God, I want to lead worship with my wife. I don't know how that will happen, but that'd be cool. And years later, I was dating Emily at the time, and we were leading worship, and I said, oh my gosh, like that was a prayer of mine.
Yeah.
Years ago, and then we eventually got married, and we're doing this now. And so, like, I want to say that that was a pivotal moment where God put that desire in my heart in that moment. And I guess I was just like, I was willing to be faithful to that. But at the same time, forgetting about that in the moment and just like kind of just pursuing and just like grinding as hard as we can.
Yeah.
But just seeing that God's been so faithful, and I'm so thankful for her and for this band. So yeah.
No, I love that. God plants seeds sometimes, but it doesn't like get into fruition until later. I love that. Great. Here's another question for us. What has been one of the most challenging dynamics within the band?
Jeff. No, I'm joking.
No.
That's why you're sitting over here and you guys are over here, right?
I think just different personalities. Like, we've had to learn over time how different people react to things, and that some people are more intuitive and some people are more feelers. I'm like all about like StrengthsQuest and like all that stuff. And as a comm major, I love it. But we've just had to learn over time, and we've definitely had our moments where we've had to learn to fight well.
Yeah.
Even like this dynamic is super weird.
Completely.
Because we will just like fight in front of everyone.
Yeah.
Like in
That's
practice.
That's always super fun.
Yes. People love that. But I would say that like our time at Biola, being involved in multiple facets on campus, taught us so much about how to have tough conversations with your peers. Yeah. You know, that you have to learn how to do that in the workplace. I mean, for us, it's kind of a weird dynamic. We're like always together, like a family business weird thing. Yeah. But that all the way to like, I have a regular 9-to-5, like you have to learn how to disagree with people well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say one of the most rewarding things is like, when we work together, you know, day in and day out, we really become family. Mm-hmm. So, like, Johnny and Emily are, like, brother and sister to me and my wife. And so one of the hardest things is when, you know, somewhere along the line, someone doesn't feel called to doing this anymore. So we've seen members, you know, want to go or, you know, feel called to something else. And so it's hard when you have that family bond for such a long time to kind of to see that go. But you know, when we're serving the Lord together, like, we can't help but be excited for people when they feel passionate about something else, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, when you add a person or you subtract a person, it's a whole different team. Yeah. Like, people just don't, it's hard to, different team dynamics. Here's another question. Regarding people's opinions, do you think it is healthier to listen to critique or to ignore them altogether? What's the balance between taking constructive feedback and letting criticism get to you?
I know for us, having a team around us that we trust their opinion and we trust their critique is huge. Because, I mean, you see reviews on YouTube, iTunes, websites, whatever, people saying, like, I wish they did something different. You're like, what the heck, man? I just poured, like, 3 years into this.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what you have to say? He's just, like, in his bedroom. Anyway, and so it's one of those things where, like, I think we'll come across those things. Like, we have to build up that wall to just ignore them. Emily has a really good story of something that happened last year, 2 years ago, with a review, and it just broke her, kind of broke all of us. We're just like, why would this guy say these things about our record that we like put so much time and effort into? But then people spoke in our lives and said, hey, like, you're not doing it for them. Kind of what she was saying earlier, like, we do this only for the glory of God and to minister to his people. Yeah. And if it didn't minister to him, other people are being ministered to it, or are being ministered by it. And so that's what it matters.
I think, too, there's, like, different kinds of feedback, you know? There's, like, like, you know, if someone came up to us and was like, hey, I was there for the weekend, you know, while you were leading worship, and I just think it'd be great if you threw, like, a hymn in there or something, you know, because, you know, this is kind of, like, there's a lot of older generation in the crowd or whatever. Like, I see that as, like, constructive feedback, but, like, somebody who's, like, bashing the record on iTunes, but the record's not even out yet.
Right.
That, like, just happened to us.
Yeah, that's a real story. That kind of stuff is just, like, I don't know. It's like, sometimes you laugh at it, and then other times, you know, it hurts, but I think it's important for me personally to, like, decipher, is this, like, constructive feedback that I should listen to, or is this just somebody who wants to say something, you know?
All right, great. All right, here's another question for you guys. Hey, when is the next time you guys are going to play at Biola?
in 2 days.
Whoa! Okay.
At Singspo. So we're so excited. We because our EP is releasing this weekend, we emailed Mike and we were like, hey, do you think that the Singspo team would be okay with us coming in and playing on Sunday? Because we really miss Biola. And there's just something about that full circle
completely
moment. And we know that you guys just have such an incredible heart for worship, so we honestly wouldn't want to be anywhere else. So Singspo on Sunday. We're so excited.
That's right. We're excited to have you guys. We're excited to have you guys. Well, let me ask you guys one last question. It's something we ask all of our guests. What are some of the biblical principles that help shape your ideas for today?
I'd say for me, when I was going through that period of my life where I was deciding whether to quit my job at the leasing corporation to do music, to go for it, there was a verse that really stood out to me, and it's in Matthew 6, and it's where Jesus is talking about how God clothes the lilies of the field and he provides food for the birds. How much more does he care for you?
Yeah.
And in that moment of being convicted by that verse, God was showing me, or posing the question to me, do you really believe this?
Yeah.
And so that verse, I think, kind of colors our story a bit. And I think something I wish I had known when I was at Biola is that if God has a plan for your life, God does have a plan for your life. He might. God has a plan for your life, and it's so much better than the plan you could possibly make for yourself. And so I came out of school with my plan, you know, and I was like, I want to be a successful businessman. And I realized somewhere along the way that that's not what God had in store for me. And I remember thinking when I was at Biola, you know, I have to choose a career path. I have to choose, you know, my major because if I want to do this specific field, then I have to do this. And myself now, I would tell myself not to worry about that so much, because if God wants you somewhere else, he will make that available to you, and he will steer you in the direction you go. And your only real responsibility is to seek him every day with what you're going through. So I feel like, you know, that was something I really wish I had known, is to not be so worried about, you know, where I'm going or what I'm doing, because if we seek the Lord, he's going to make that, you know, available to us.
And another something quick I'll share, and it even kind of comes back to what we've poured into this record, is just the idea of giving our worries and our thoughts to the Lord. Even in the last couple of years, I think it's been so important for pastors to come out as we talk about, like, God will never give you more than you can handle. And then people are like, that's not real. Like, God never said that. He gives us more than we can handle so that we need to rely on him. Like, he's the one that can handle it. But there's this passage in Isaiah. It says, you will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. Trust in the Lord forever, because in Yahweh, the Lord is an everlasting rock. And just this idea of choosing to, even when it doesn't make sense to our human minds, to just trust the Lord when we're like, for me, I know I'm that person that my mind can just be in chaos sometimes, and that I want to like figure it all out and then give it to God.
Yeah.
But that God's just asking me to give him all of it and to just speak the name of Jesus and to be in perfect peace as I like turn my mind to him.
Yeah.
And that will take us through the lowest lows in this band and the highest highs as we just choose to take every thought captive and surrender it to him.
Yeah, thanks for being so vulnerable. Thanks for sharing your stories of trust and just learning to depend on God a little bit more. Hey, can I just say that I think that Emily and this team are probably one of the best worship leaders out there right now. So thank you for doing that. All right?
It's great.
Let's thank them for being here today.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, we would love it if you were to rate us on iTunes. And if you want to continue the conversation, follow us on social media.